Welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, a comedy parenting podcast hosted by two working moms of three kids who are somehow surviving life with boys.
You can download this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and review. Share your thoughts about the show. The parental sanity you save may be your own, or possibly my mother's.
All right, you've got this show opening up.
Okay.
And you're ready to go?
I am.
Are you pumped?
I'm ready to go. I'm pumped.
Anything else?
No. Hello.
Hi, everyone.
I'm Ellen.
And I'm Bonnie.
And this is I Shouldn't Have Had Kids. We're podcasting for parental sanity, ours and yours.
This is a parenting podcast, but to be more concise, it's a parenting comedy podcast.
That means you can laugh with us.
And sometimes at us.
And that's okay, just as long as you never mistake us for parenting experts.
Oh, please, for the love of God, because most days there is at least one face-palming moment in which we slap our hand to our forehead and mutter,
I shouldn't have had kids. But
seriously,
we did.
Three of them.
We're outnumbered.
Three boys, I might say.
And we've given those boys nicknames, Lola, Tigger, and Shy Guy.
And they've given us their permission to share some of their stories as we talk about parenting.
And we're a same-sex couple.
Oh, and a blended family.
Add to that fact that we have one biracial son, and you could say we have a fresh perspective on the American family.
Podcasting live, kind of, from the Bombcast studio.
And this is episode 31.
And we still don't know what we're doing, but
nope.
We are having so much fun not knowing what we're doing that we just can't stop.
31 weeks in.
31. You were 31 when I met you.
Oh, wow. So we don't know what we're doing, but we do, however, have Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages.
Yes.
So get out a pencil and write this down.
Yes.
Twitter is at SHHKids.
Kids.
That's right. Facebook is I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, and Instagram is I Shouldn't Have Had Kids. It's
but
very easy to find us.
Most importantly, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following us on social. Thank you for sharing the podcast with people you know and for rating and reviewing the show. Swear to God, guys, those things make a big difference. And every time you do any one of those things, it's like a little, it's just like a little pet to a purring cat. We're like,
well, for sure, an angel gets its wings.
For sure.
And if you have anything that you want to share with us directly, not on social, a little bit private, want to remain anonymous, if it's something you'd like read on the show, email us at ishouldn'thavehadkids@gmail.com.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. As a matter of fact, speaking of which, let's get right to the shit list because that rolls right into something that's on my
shit
list.
Because I have a lot to say today.
You
so
do?
We need to like,
oh my God,
hustle it up.
Okay. Okay. So we did our first Facebook Live.
We did.
Yes. And it was so much fun because we were out kayaking on the bay. And we kayaked for...
And we're kayaking.
And kayaking.
We're kayaking.
And kayaking. It was like 45-minute kayak to get to these pilings that we know about. And the reason that we love these pilings and visit them every year is because on top of one of the pilings is this giant osprey nest. And every spring, there is an osprey mom and an osprey dad, and their chicks hatch, and we go out there. And depending on how old the chicks are, it is kind of a barometer to how nasty and aggressive she gets.
Well, and there's been more than one nest on occasion.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I was surprised there was
only one
this
time. This
year.
Yeah.
So we broadcast from the kayak on the bay right by the osprey nest. If you didn't see it live,
yeah, check it out.
Go check it out.
It was
a
beautiful night.
It was a gorgeous night, and it was really
fun.
Cool because we were looking at this abandoned sort of industrial complex
cement
on the shore.
Plant, yeah.
And I said, I think it's a cement plant, but I bet that Maya or Dougie will know. And by God, they were both watching the live broadcast.
Like, yep.
I loved it.
That was cool. And then we had to paddle back.
And then we had to, well, first we ate and then we had
we
to
We were out
back.
There for 3 hours.
Yeah. My muscles in my neck.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty
my
sore.
Arms are ripped.
Seriously. Nothing compared to your stomach, though. That six pack is just the best.
I have like a half a pack.
No, you
half
got a,
of one little row.
You got a couple of bottles.
Oh, yeah. I got a kegerator.
What's a kegerator?
I think it's like that, like a fridge, and you get you put a keg in it, and it allows you to like have a tap in your home.
Oh my God!
I think someone will correct me, but yeah. I think that's what a kegerator is.
I think that they have
which is
one
pretty
of those.
Cool for a party.
Don't they have one of those at my favorite recording studio in Seattle?
They probably have a couple.
What's the name of that place?
Well, I think it's gone now, but it was Clatter and Din.
No, they're not gone.
No.
Well,
they must have moved.
They might have, yeah.
They were literally across the street from Safeco Field.
Literally.
And T-Mobile Park now.
And the mayor of Clatter and Din, who passed away this year, unfortunately. Aww. So sad. Mayor Bill. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that it?
I can't remember. But I know he was the mayor. I just always called him.
Yeah. And he gave us their business card. Gave us their business card and said, anytime you come down here for a game, you park right behind this building and just stick this on your dash. And it was the nicest gift. It was the gift that kept on giving.
No, it was like $1 million gift.
It was.
Because you got out of your car and you walked 10
across
feet
the street.
And you were in the crowd being ushered over by the police.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
So here's to you, Mayor.
Here's to you.
Yeah. What a great guy he was.
Okay. Anyway. I'm just going to say.
What?
Because I can't let it go. That we opened up some wine for tonight. Bonnie opened up a bottle of wine for tonight, as per our tradition. Although we did go a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's because I was having dry June.
She was having a dry June. So she opened up a bottle. She's like, hey, opened up a bottle. It's this one here. This 2014. And I'm like, the what now? So this is a super bougie thing to say, but it is a fact. This is a $50 bottle of wine. It's special. It was given to us by a friend. But I say...
Which I didn't know.
I say carpe fucking diem, because every day there's a chance that the earth is going to split in half.
Yeah, well, seriously.
So let's celebrate podcasting. Let's celebrate. We have been podcasting for over half a year.
God, isn't that crazy?
This is week 15 of our, like, I don't
quarantine.
Know. Yeah, our quarantine, our
stay
work
at home.
From home. Yeah. And we're still married. And we're still alive.
Yeah.
And we're all still healthy.
We're actually in a really good groove.
We're in a good groove.
Yeah.
And we are, I don't know, we're absorbing so much right now.
Oh, God.
And just really figuring some things out.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be alive.
It is a good time to be alive. It's not a particularly easy time
no.
to be alive. But
nope.
I think that our kids are being molded. I think that they're being, you know, when you take steel and in order to bend it or to shape it, you have to put it into fire, metal and fire.
Sure.
I think that's what's happening with this generation of kids. They don't know it.
Our little generation of horseshoes. tap, tap, tap.
Anvils. And we're the anvil.
Yeah.
And the hammer.
The anvils. All right. Anyway.
Wow. I don't know what happened there.
That was because of Ospreys and Facebook Live. So here's mine. Okay. Speaking of the pandemic, for my shit list, number one, today, Governor Inslee in Washington State just said by this Friday, it's a mask mandate. And I know people are going to have little baby shit fits, but here's the deal. If this had happened months ago, coast to coast, we would be way further down the road with this thing.
Just and look at Florida.
Makes me real mad.
Look at Oklahoma.
We'll take what I can get. So make it a fashion statement. If you don't have a mask, email us. We have masks.
Yep.
And we'll get them to you if it's a hardship.
Yeah.
Just reach out, pop one in the mail to you.
And you can also go online and get really fun masks.
Yeah, you
that
can
are,
like I get mean, your just, sports teams.
Yeah.
You can get different causes. You can get all sorts of stuff at this
point.
Get your
mask on, dude.
And I don't know how much. I've still right around $10, but get one
I
for
see
your
five.
Get one for yourself and your family.
Yep.
And go out and make a statement. And it's going to be awesome. I think that we all look kind of badass. Like when I go into a store with my glasses, my mask, and my hat on backwards, I'm like, am I here to buy something? Or am I here to take what I want? You can't see me.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
is that your shit list?
Well, that was one thing. I have another. Do you want me to jump right into my second one?
No, I'll go. Because we did not talk about it. Pride Month.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, happy Pride Month. And we didn't talk about it because the world's been on fire.
Congratulations, gay people.
Yeah, congratulations. Do you know where how Pride Month started or what it's all about?
Nope, actually, I'm a bad gay person.
I am not going to go through the whole thing. I will just say that in 1969...
Yeah.
The Stonewall riots happened in New York City.
Correct.
At the end of the month of June. And that is why we celebrate.
I did know that.
You did?
Yeah, they just covered the Stonewall riots on My Favorite Murder.
Remember? Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. I'm just surprised you didn't know that. La-di-da.
Blocked it out like a fool.
Okay, so I'd never been to a Pride anything. Not a Pride parade, not a Pride. And incidentally, the reason why it's called Pride is because it was an invitation to let go of the shame.
Oh. know.
So if you're out there and you're listening and you ever are around someone who's kind of uppity about the, well, what's this pride, gay pride, mm-hmm. blah, blah. I mean, I don't walk around talking about my heterosexual pride.
Well, that's right. Well, it's because you have no shame in it, you asshole.
Yeah, so God. That's where the name comes from, which I thought was pretty interesting, too. But I had never been to a pride event of any sort. Oh, actually, that Valentine's Day dance with like 14 people.
Yeah, you mean like Trump's Tulsa rally?
Yes.
Yeah. No, there were more people than that, but not many.
No. But I went to my first pride event in our little town. Two years ago, I think?
It was last summer.
It was 2 years ago.
Two summers ago we went to the Pride Parade, yeah.
And it was meltingly hot, mm-hmm. and it was so much fun. I had no idea. I just loved the celebration of being human is all it was. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I think I always thought it was going to be really out there. And some of it is. Some of it's way out there, and some of it's not. And you just find your place to fit in, and mm-hmm. all's good. Because it takes all fucking kinds.
And a village. Some might say. And,
I wish you could have seen Ellen's face when she said that.
Yeah, I was struggling for that.
Anyway, happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride
That's
Month.
That's right. I think you just say happy Pride, right?
Happy Pride. Be proud.
Be proud. Get your rainbow on.
Happy gay day. I don't know.
Oh, my God. You're losing it.
I am kind of losing it.
Yeah. Go for it. It's all you, dude.
Okay, this is my last one. This is something that just happened today. I got a text from my mom, and she said that her and my dad spent all morning saving a fawn from a pit bull.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I have the photos to prove it.
What?
Yep. They were some... just random. They went outside in the morning. They were in their pajamas, and all of a sudden they could hear a dog barking, and they saw a baby deer run across the street and towards the creek that runs through their property, a dog chasing it. And so they ran after it, like ran after what was happening. And the dog had the fawn cornered, and the fawn was underwater. And so my mom shooed the pit bull away, and my dad pulled the fawn out of the water, and they took it into their yard and put it on a blanket on a dog bed and cleaned up a big gash in its head that the dog had bit.
Oh, baby.
And then just sat there with it and talked to it, and it like napped for about an hour and then slowly came to and stood up and hopped off into the forest.
Oh, I hope it found its mom.
That's exactly what my mother said.
Bambi.
I hope it found its mom. And they have no idea where this dog came from. Like, it's not a dog from their neighborhood, but it did have a collar on. So it may have been chasing the fawn for a long time.
Oh, yeah. God.
It's just a little bitty thing. Just
really?
A cute.
Oh, good on
just
your parents.
Bambi.
Your dad went into the creek?
Yeah, they're both in their life is good pajama bottom outfits. I know, it's so cute. Yeah, my dad went into the creek.
Can we share a picture?
I'm sure we can.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. we'll put a picture up post.
I mean, this fawn is lying there on its side like, ugh. It's just a bitty baby.
Probably had a little concussion.
Probably.
Oh, poor thing. Yeah, How big was the dog?
I don't know, pit bull size.
Oh, it was a pit. Did you say it was pit bull?
Yeah.
I missed that. Sorry, I was not listening.
Yeah. Love.
That is. Hey, you know what? Speaking of family.
Yeah.
And pit bulls.
Yeah. Really?
Where am I going with that?
Are we going somewhere with?
No. I do have one more should I love list.
Oh.
I mean, one more item.
I don't see it here.
That's right. I'm just
surprise
to you.
Some surprise shit.
You know, we have been such good little quarantinis. I'm not kidding you.
Quarantinis.
Yes. And it has been really tough because we have, as you know, a couple of friends who are staring cancer in the face. And so we've been keeping super clean to be near and available to them. And we also have a brand new niece, and she is, well, she's not so brand new anymore.
She's almost now 2 months old.
Almost 2 months old. And your sister sent us a video, and she was chirping like a little bird, and she was so goddamn cute.
Oh, man.
I'm like, I cannot handle it anymore. You
so cute.
You have to write to your sister and tell her what good quarantinis we've been.
Yeah, what
and
do we?
Can we please?
What
come
do we
down
need to do
to see the baby?
Uh huh.
And we have the green light.
Yay!
Oh my God, I'm just beside myself. I can't wait to hold that little baby.
And we have to be completely wrapped in Saran wrap. And just masks.
Oh, my gosh.
Just masks.
I was looking, I was on, I think, the New York Times website this weekend. And they had this, it was the like the faces of COVID. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was photos from around the world and the different mm-hmm. cultures. And there was this photograph out of Spain that was stunning because it was this plastic see-through wall between these two people. And in the plastic was a place to put your arms. So you were still, your arms were ensconced in plastic, but you could reach through to the mm-hmm. other side. Mm-hmm. And then you could wrap your arms around the person on the other side. And it was this woman hugging what looked like her husband just as tight as she possibly could. And it was such a gorgeous and heartbreaking picture at the same time. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. I see that.
You made me think of that when you were talking about wrapping in plastic to hold the baby.
Saran wrap.
Yeah, we're just going to arrive in saran wrap.
Just like robots. Hello. Like... arms. We are here to see the baby. Bebe.
Hey, quick side note.
Where's Bebe's chamber?
What? In Fried Green Tomatoes, one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah.
You've seen that movie.
Duh.
1,000 times. when What's-Her-Face, the main character who's hitting menopause.
Yeah.
Kathleen Bates. Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates.
When Kathy Bates answers the door and she's wrapped in cellophane to try to...
Her husband comes home. Yeah.
He doesn't even faze him. He's like, what the hell are you doing?
What's for dinner?
And what's for dinner? And can I have it on a TV tray?
That's a really good movie.
While I watch television. Mm-hmm. The game's on.
Yep.
Yeah, that's when you...
I'd like to come home.
Uh-huh, and have me wrapped in saran wrap?
No, and sit down with a TV tray and some fried chicken and a beer and a baseball game.
I bet you would, but there's no baseball right now. Sorry.
Yeah, or beer or fried chicken or a TV tray or a chair that would allow me to sit like that.
I will.
So none of those things exist in my world.
Did you guys have TV trays when you were growing up?
Yeah.
We had just the bomb TV trays, and I have actually looked for not that I would ever use a TV tray in my life, mm-hmm. really, but we're in a... I don't know if you know this. We're in a mid-century modern house.
Oh, right now we are?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, this is the mid-century modern house.
Oh, shit.
We bought it like in 2012.
Oh, my God.
You remember that? Anyway, so we need TV trays, and I just can't find any.
We don't need TV trays. There were two I had to choose from when I was little. A Holly Hobby TV tray and a Strawberry Shortcake. But they didn't have legs to the ground. They were like metal. Like the TV tray top part was metal. And then two pieces that folded down, so you set it on your lap.
Oh, that's not a TV tray.
But it was like a kid TV tray.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, I totally get
that. The top part was the exact same shape as all grown-up TV trays.
Interesting.
Branded with.
Yeah, I just want the kind.
Strawberry shortcake, which I was never interested in playing with.
The strawberry shortcakes?
Yeah, dumb.
You played with what?
I wanted, like, trucks and Legos and shit.
Of course you did.
I mean, come on. Remember Stompers?
Stompers. What are those?
No. It was like a little truck like this, and it took a... AA battery, and that powered the truck, and also two little teeny headlights. But it had these foam wheels.
No.
Foam wheels. So you could like lay out a whole bunch of pencils, and the truck would go right over the pencils.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
This is bringing you right back, isn't it?
I am going to buy some Stompers on eBay the minute we're done with this recording.
Did you used to get up on like a Saturday morning and turn the cartoons on?
That's funny. You should ask.
And play with your Stompers.
Do you want to talk about cartoons?
How about crappy kid cartoons?
How about it?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Now,
so if you picked up on that.
One caveat to this show tonight is that we were just upstairs and I was wrapping up like, I don't know, probably 3 hours of making notes and doing research about
your
crappy
nose
kids cartoons.
Is so scrunched off your face right now.
So pissed.
I know you are.
And we walked down into the studio and I opened up my computer and for whatever reason, it didn't save. It just ate my words. It ate most of my research.
I even understand
how it happened.
I'm so sorry.
I know. Just makes me so mad. Ugh. Anyway, so I had some really good stuff that I won't be sharing with you tonight. However, it will still be really fun because I do have some good stuff that stayed.
Okay.
And I think I can remember some of the other stuff, just not the details. And, you know, certainly the devil and the interesting tidbits, I think, lie in the details.
The devil. The devil's in the details.
Yes.
And the interesting tidbits.
Yes. Okay. So we
all right.
We did this thing. How did this even start?
Well, so we have a show meeting before we do our show.
Yeah.
And we talk about what we're going to talk about and we like map it out.
Right.
So we're mapping it out.
Okay. Reality check. We've had one show meeting and it happened last night.
So this is what we do every single time for 31 episodes in a row. Okay, the whiteboarding was new, but we've had show meetings before.
Yeah, kind of. I'm just deflating you. Sorry. Yes, we've had
Maybe
show meetings.
Maybe I shouldn't have deleted all your fucking research. We have show meetings. So last night we were talking about crappy kid shows and we start just throwing up all over the place. Just barf. No. We start writing all of these ideas on the wall and Lola wanders in. He's like, so you want me to rate these for you? Like best to worst or like give them like I can
And what
tier,
about this one? What about that one? Yeah, I can tear them
for you.
You
know, oh, that one's no good. And, oh, like it completely became an actual meeting.
With one of the kids.
With one of the kids. But it was really helpful because some of the shows we could remember the characters or the theme song, but not the actual name of the show.
Right.
And then it was a nice reality check of what we thought was entertainment versus what he thought was entertainment. So he's speaking for the whole here.
Mm-hmm.
I reached out to Shy Guy and said, tell me the shows that you liked mm-hmm. when you were little. And he's like, I don't remember any.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's how he rolls, right? So I said a handful of them. And he's like, oh, yeah, I loved those. And then I asked him another one, which I swear he loved, but I might be confusing him with one of the other boys.
Yeah.
And he literally texted back, and this kid is like almost 16. He wrote, I'm sorry, that doesn't ring a bell.
He's been hanging out with Lola too much.
It doesn't ring a bell? Okay.
Yeah, I texted Tigger, and his response was hilarious, and I'll tell you about it when it's appropriate.
All right. Well, we're going
to get there.
We're going to kick this off with crappy kid shows.
Yeah, we've got crappy kid shows. We've got the winners, you know, mm-hmm. and then we've got best in show in terms of like the old timeies, throwback yummies.
So the crappy kid shows is a list comprised of the shows that we did not like as adults, as parents having to watch it. But it was also corroborated by Lola, who was like, oh, 100%.
Yes.
Those were shit shows.
No, there were a couple that he was like, why would you put that on there? The dog is dreaming. If she starts barking, we're sorry already. No, I didn't see her there.
We looked at each other like, is that a semi-truck going by?
She's the same color as the carpet.
Yeah.
We actually think that she's got, her stomach was
a tummy ache.
So loud today that we thought she had swallowed a live rabbit, a baby rabbit, because it was like squealing. And I was like, could she have swallowed a live baby rabbit again? Because it's happened before, which is awful. I know. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Anyway, we've determined that it wasn't a live baby rabbit because it's still screaming. And I looked it up online and we have so many rabbits right now. It's ridiculous. And we think that she's eaten so much rabbit poop that her stomach is upset. She hasn't even had dinner tonight.
The show just took a turn.
Okay. Sorry. Let's get back to crap. Well, I don't know. We're talking crap. Cartoons.
Okay.
I have to start with the very worst of all of them.
Okay. Go ahead.
Because if you don't fucking hate this show, you're not a real parent. It's Caillou.
Ugh.
Oh my God. Caillou started in 1997, and its final episode was in, this says 2010, but I think it was 2000. I think that's wrong. I think it only lasted 3 years because every parent hated it. Caillou is this little boy. He's 4 years old.
Is this French, Canadian? What is this?
I don't think it is Canadian. Arthur was Canadian, but I don't think Caillou was Canadian.
All right.
He's a four-year-old bald boy. Mm-hmm. We don't know why he's bald, and he whines consistently all the time, throws temper tantrums, and here's the kicker. His parents never make him mind. They never send him to his room. They never tell him to go stand in the corner. They never tell him to go play.
Is he just a whiny baby?
He is not a baby. He's a four-year-old. He's a whiny.
God.
Oh, my God. So 4 early episodes of Caillou have been permanently banned from PBS Kids because the kid is such a demon seed.
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious. He's lying to his mother. He's tormenting the family cat. You know who does that? Serial killers. Okay, so lying to his mother, tormenting the family cat. Swatting his baby sister with a book. And they were like, nope, those are out. And here's something really interesting that I did not know.
Okay.
There's an urban legend about Caillou.
Okay.
Everybody wants to know why a four-year-old would be bald.
Cancer.
Yep. So people say, you know what? He's got cancer. That's why he's bald. It's also why his parents let him get away with being a bratty, shitty little preschooler.
Oh, my God.
And that would not be so far from the truth. But I will tell you, if you have a child with cancer or if you are a parent with cancer, it doesn't serve your child to spoil them rotten. It doesn't serve them to give them a pass.
Nope.
No.
Okay, so you watched this with Tigger?
I watched it with both of them.
And did they like it?
They did.
Yeah. And they were like, yeah, taking notes. We're I actually run around and be little dicks.
It was the first time that I put my foot down as a mom. And finally, I was like, I cannot handle this anymore. I'm sorry. I'm in treatment. We're not going to watch this. No, I didn't pull the C card.
You didn't play the Z card.
No. But I did finally put the kibosh on Caillou. If you've never seen
Sorry.
You think you're so cute.
I
do.
But thanks.
If you've never seen Caillou, this is how bad it is. There's actually a Facebook page named I Fucking Hate Caillou. And if you look up, here, go ahead, have some fun. Look up Caillou and just look at the comments that you will find about this. The theme song was rewritten to reflect how most parents whose kids love Caillou feel about the little shit on a YouTube channel run by Mind Sabotage. It was hilarious last night.
Super inappropriate.
Super inappropriate, super dark. And this takes the cake. One Twitter user, her name is Alexandria Mary. Her handle is at Beardsy92. She wins the day with her tweet saying, after watching Caillou, I feel the need to rip out my ovaries.
Oh, my God.
That is how I felt every time I watched that show. Such a dumb show. Nothing saved it. There were no good morals. There was just no lesson. There was nothing but whining and crying and being a naughty little boy.
Hmm.
Naughty boy.
Okay, you're done.
That's
my turn.
Bleh.
All right, so on my crappy kids show list up first, and these are in no particular order.
No.
And I feel bad because I still have all my research. okay, so Arthur started in 1996 and apparently is still going. So
that is
the
one. That is the one that Lola said I love.
Okay,
why would you put Arthur on there?
Well, so here's the plot. Bespectacled aardvark Arthur Reed demonstrates to kids how to deal with such childhood traumas and challenges as homework, teachers, and bullies. He also has to contend with his sisters, but loves playing with his friends, tomboy Francine, foodie, and best pal Buster. Hey, Pride Month, Buster. Super smart brain, rich girl Muffy, and geography expert Sue Ellen. Okay. I did not like watching this show as a parent. I thought it was horribly boring, just so stupidly predictable. Now, I know it was for kids.
Yeah.
Okay, but you have to sit there and watch it with your kids. So that's why it's on the list for me. His sister, DW, is a total pain in the ass. But I thought...
Such a pain.
I thought, well, maybe I'm just being unrealistic, mm-hmm. and I'm a bitch, and so I'm not getting it. So I looked up Arthur on the internet, and there's an entire Reddit page dedicated to how much people hate this show. Quote, so as you can see, the show slowly degraded in quality for me. First it was good, then mediocre, then poor, then bad, and now it sucks. The characters are so annoying now. They're just trying to reference memes from the internet kids won't even get. If you want good, check out seasons 1 through 3, as well as a few rare shining episodes in seasons 4 through 8. But ignore everything else. I hope this review helped. Now, time for me to go find something else to rip into. That was my favorite quote off of the We Hate Arthur Reddit page.
She took the time, or he took the time, to like talk about all the different episodes and the gems you might find there. Oh, Lord, love
so,
a duck.
So I'm not alone.
No, you are not.
Arthur
You're in good company.
Arthur is a total shit show. All right, what you got?
Yeah. Okay. You know what? This show did not run very long, but it made such a huge indelible imprint into the minds of Lola and Tigger,
mm-hmm.
and into mine, it turns out, because when I played the theme music again for it, the opening, I just started singing along and couldn't stop. Teletubbies from 1997 to 2001. Now, if you haven't seen Teletubbies, you weren't raised on Teletubbies, your kids didn't watch Teletubbies, I hope that you know what they look like. It's a British kids show, and it was these four multicolored creatures known as Teletubbies, and they had television screens implanted in their abdomens that would occasionally play, informational stuff on the show.
That was the telly.
Yes.
And they were a little tubby.
They were round and tubby, and they were head to toe in this big costume, and they had giant eyes. They babbled. They had a big head. And each of them had an antenna on top of their head, mm-hmm. because they had the television implanted in their tubby. And all of the antennas were different shapes. So that's important to remember. They babbled at each other, sounding a lot like toddlers, right?
Okay. Because
that's who the audience was. And when the show starts, there is a sunshine that rises over the horizon at daybreak with a baby's face in the middle of it going,
it's kind of, that was good.
Oh, you like that?
That was good baby babble.
It was kind of creepy. And it turns out that that girl is now about, 19 years old. And I looked at her.
The baby voice that they grabbed for that.
The baby's face, because it's like a video face inside of this sun that's rising up. Oh, it was so weird.
Wasn't there a gay Teletubby?
Hey, I'm getting there.
Oh, sorry. So, it's Pride Month. I'm excited for Tinky Winky.
So these four weird creatures in these roly-poly fluffy costumes jump out of their mound in the ground, right?
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. They live underground. And when they come flying out of this hole in this mound... it's covered with grass, and they land, and it's Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Lala, Paul. Seriously, I've been listening to these songs. Anyway, the purple Teletubby, we're getting to it now, Tinky Winky, he had a triangle antenna.
And he's purple.
And he's purple, and he carried a handbag. Evidently, that caused a huge stir in the 1990s.
Three strikes and you're out.
The actor who played Tinky Winky, his name was Dave Thompson. He was the original Tinky. left the show due to, quote, creative differences. In other words, he was fired. It was later reported that the show's production company felt the actor had misinterpreted the role by implying Tinky Winky was gay. So let me go through that one more time. He had a triangle antenna. Mm-hmm. He was purple and he carried a handbag and he was 11 feet tall. I'm thinking that that's a little gay Teletubby anyway.
Big gay Teletubby.
Big gay. Yeah. The actor who took over for Thompson was a trained dancer. And when he was asked by fans if Tinky Winky was gay, he said, quote, the character is supposed to be a 3-year-old. So the question is really quite silly.
It's a good answer.
Because he was English, of course. Quite silly.
I'm very good at an English accent.
Tallest Teletubby was 11 feet tall. Yeah. And they had rabbits hopping all around where they were supposed to live out in this
Is that one of the rabbits?
That is one of the rabbits. And it's actually a giant rabbit.
That has got to be like 150 pounds.
I bet it is. Anyway, so it's called a Flemish giant rabbit. And they reportedly mated so much that takes regularly had to be interrupted and reshot during the making of Teletubbies. But they fired the gay guy. Go figure. Rabbits got to stay.
Oh, my God.
All right. I have lots more about Teletubbies, but it's the only research I have left. I may return to it.
Okay. I've got a lot on here, but I'm going to wrap up with one final one that I couldn't stomach this show. I watched it maybe twice, and then I was ready to throw myself off of the couch. Barney.
Oh, my God.
So Barney ran from 1992 to 2010. Barney, America's favorite purple dinosaur. I'm going to announce this as if I were doing the Macy's Day Parade. So here comes the Barney balloon. Barney, America's favorite purple dinosaur, and his young friends share adventures featuring songs, dances, and games that make learning fun. Barney and his dino pals, Baby Bop, BJ, and Riff, are joined by a cast of children. The series focuses on caring, sharing, and learning.
Oh, my God.
So, okay, again, I found another Reddit page where people dedicated their time and energy to talking about...
to hating on Barney.
Hating on Barney. So I just grabbed this one snippet because, again, it's nice to know that you're not alone. Mm. Other reasons cited for the hostility also include the purple dinosaur's voice, described by many parents as dopey, lacked of varied facial expressions other than a toothy smile, and personality, described as being self-centered, as well as how the children in the series interact with the dinosaur characters. So it, I don't know why it ran for so long. It must have had some redeeming qualities, but there are a lot of parents who were just like, hard pass on that shit.
Okay, I've got to tell you my Barney story.
Oh.
When I was in radio, I hosted a lot of events and stuff. And one of the things that I was invited to host was, and by invited to host, I mean, you know, will you give up your weekend to come do this thing for us for free, please?
yes, I will.
Yeah, so I had to, or I got to, be the host for the Mom and Me event at the zoo here in our area. And I had to get up and introduce some act. And I was in front of all of these children. And I had just had my first child. And I had no idea really how to be a mom. And I'd been a working woman for such a long time. So I was up there being this professional talk show host, right, and trying to talk to these kids. And I'm like, I don't know how to talk to these kids. What do they want from me?
Hello, children.
And the person who's going to come up says, stall. I'm not ready.
Oh, no.
And I have to stall with these kids. Now, if it had been adults, I could have stalled no problem. But instead, it's these kids. And I'm like, okay, who loves Barney?
No, are you serious? You said Barney.
The kids booed.
Boo, Barney's blowhard.
And I said, oh, come on, he can't be that bad because he sings this song.
Oh.
And then I sang the song. I love you.
You're so earnest, too. I can just see you up there.
And finally, I mean, they literally are looking at me stone face or booing or getting up and running around and hitting their brother or sister. And I just, I one of the few times in my life, I've just stood there and thought, I have no idea what to say here. I don't know what to do. So I hate Barney, too.
Okay.
That's the moral of my story. Oh, I guess it's my turn.
We switching to the best in town now? Are we going to...
Wait, am I done with all my bad ones?
I don't know.
I did want to say there are more on the list of cartoons that we thought were really crappy, like Uncle Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Thomas and Friends.
Lola said he was freaked out by Misadventures of Flapjack, which is something I have never heard of before in my entire life.
And we will post a list.
Yes,
we
will.
Of all these. So if there's a show you on our good list as ranked by Lola that you're interested in checking out, because obviously all of these are still available, even if the series has run out.
Yeah, you can find it all on the... everywhere.
Almost everything that I looked up is on Netflix, like currently, so it's pretty remarkable. So do you have a good one? Give me a good one.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I have so many good ones. I'm going to have a hard time choosing.
I just want to say of those ones that were really great, they helped me raise the kids. They really taught them a lot of wonderful stuff. And I think my favorite of those was, it's hard to pick a favorite, but one that I love that was very early on is one that you may not have heard of. If you have small kids and you are in quarantine and wondering what to do with them, look it up. It's still online. You can find it on YouTube. It's called Between the Lions.
I don't know that one.
No, it's in my research, I had the years that it ran. It was, I think, 1999, the year after Tigger was born. And I think it's this show that taught that kid how to love to read so much. I really do.
Taught your boys how to love to read so much?
Yes, because it was this lion couple, and they ran a library, and so Between the Lions, and it would open up, and they had two cubs, and the vowels and the consonants would come alive, and they would, you know, move around and dance and sing, and there were puppets, and it taught you the difference between all of the prepositions, and it taught you structure, grammar structure, and it taught you words, and I mean, it was so much fun. That I even enjoyed
it. That's awesome.
It was a really great show. I loved Between the Lions. And in fact, I sent a link to Tigger as I was doing all that research that I have now lost, but I will not mention that again. Anyway, I sent him a link and I said, do you remember this show? And he wrote in all caps, oh my God, yes. And I said, you really loved that show when you were little. And he said, heck yeah, I did. Also, don't forget about... I'll save this one because I think it's on your list.
Oh, go ahead. What is it?
Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, my God.
Yes. He loved that show.
So we can jump in anywhere. You know, when I was doing this research with these shows, I made a list. And what I realized all of a sudden was the lack of representation.
Mm.
And so I started looking specifically at which shows were racially diverse and which weren't. So for a couple of these, what I thought would be fun to do is not only relate them back to how they affected our children, but what that looked like. What were we not filtering? What was I can't speak for you because some of this was before
you.
But what
before
was me. I letting Shy Guy watch, who's biracial, where there was literally no one in the show that looked like him?
Right.
All right. So I'll start with my perspective as my experience as a parent. So first of all, Little Einsteins, which was a show with Leo, Annie, Quincy, and June. They were the Little Einsteins. It's a preschool series full of adventure that introduced kids to nature, world cultures, and the arts. Each episode has a mission and a journey of discovery that incorporates a celebrated piece of classical music and a renowned work of art. or world culture.
Oh, I never watched it. I would have liked it.
The little Einsteins use their passion and talents to work together and solve challenges. So each kid has something they bring to the table that helps solve whatever it is they're doing. So Leo, Annie, Quincy, and June, it's actually racially diverse. There is ethnicity portrayed.
Yeah.
So my
with classical music, that's cool.
My like filter for that, I guess, is there a black child? Is there, and I'm going to just use terms that I'm comfortable using. Is there a black child? Is there an Asian child? Is there a white child? Like, what's the mix? So of
right.
these four kids, there's four different ethnicities represented. So I count that as a good show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I want to point out. Most of the shows that I looked at
mm-hmm.
were not inclusive. It was groups of white people.
Yep.
So.
Or animals. And I think that's why they went with animals so often. Well, plus kids love animals.
Well, they went with animals a lot. There's Bob the Builder, all white construction people, and then tools that I don't think are ethnic. But here's one that this really bothered me after I saw so many that were all clearly just representing, you know, showing white little kids, is a show
yep.
called The Backyardigans. So Backyardigans is five colorful animal pals with big imaginations. They team up to journey to imaginary places in their backyards. Episodes feature songs from different musical genres and dancing. Aimed at preschoolers, there's sing-along sheets available to download on the internet. Awesome. So Backyardigans.
So where are you getting this information?
This is Wikipedia.
Okay.
These are synopsis.
Okay.
Wikipedia. So the Backyardigans, it's like hooligans. Right? Yardigans,
right.
Hooligans.
Yes.
Here's the names of the characters. Pablo, Tyrone, Uniqua, Tasha, and Austin.
Oh, my God.
So the very first...
What year?
2004 to 2010.
Are you
kidding?
So
this bothers me because this is the most diverse names I've ever heard in a cartoon. And they're animals, but I think clearly that they represent a group.
They and represent a group of black people.
And the name
and
is
Hispanics.
A spin... On hooligans.
Wow. At about the same time, we had
Lion King.
Yeah. And all of the jackals, which were the bad people who lived in the dark and who slunk around and stole things, they were all played by black actors,
yeah.
voice actors. And I think that's kind of the same.
So that is another thing that I found, is that shows that were attempting to be racially diverse had huge missteps because they often only hired white voice actors. So, Avatar,
oh, wow.
The Last Airbender, which is heralded actually as one of the best cartoons ever. And I just read an article from the New York Times that was written on the 18th.
Okay, wait, before you go on, can I tell you something? Lola called that, what do you call it?
He called it the king of all cartoons.
The king of all cartoons. And when I told Tigger what we were doing tonight, he said, don't forget about Avatar,
right.
The Last Airbender. I've gone back and watched the series multiple times at this point. I'm even having a Zoom call with a friend right now to watch it again.
Okay, well, he's a nerd.
He is a nerd.
So 2005 to 2008, the world is divided into four nations, the Water Tribe, the Earth Kingdom, the Fire Nation, and the Air Nomads. And the Avatar is the only one who can, like, master all of the elements. And it's a little boy. It's a 12-year-old. His name is Aang. And he's a monk, potentially, I think. But this show is often celebrated for its sophisticated storytelling and complex characters. This is a quote from the New York Times article, Avatar most notably dreams up a world free of whiteness. So this is from the New York Times article. So the timeliness of this is kind of blowing my mind a little bit because
mm-hmm.
we're doing this list. I go to research and here's something written 5 days ago on the New York Times.
Wow.
Talking
yeah.
about the fact that this show in its original form has just been put up on a release on Netflix again or something like that. Like
no
it's,
way.
It's,
oh, that's why Tigger's watching
it's
it
available for people to watch. And just in this time that we're going through right now, this tipping point, I hope, it says this, though often celebrated for its sophisticated storytelling and complex characters, Avatar most notably dreams up a world free of whiteness, a cultural haven from and refreshing salve in a country that has, especially in recent months, shown marginalized communities its most gruesome face. So I'm like, yes, I mean, why not? Show
yeah.
You don't need to have white people
no.
in your shows. And it's okay if we lean the other way quite a bit for a while. Like, that would be pretty sweet. But this article did say that it was a huge misstep for them back in 2004. because it's an all-white cast.
Oh, who voiced it?
Yeah.
Even though there were no Caucasians in
Correct.
The...
Correct. Correct.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean...
You know, one step forward, two steps back. One step forward, two steps back. You're still making your way forward.
You're still making your way forward.
Are you? So if you do that? No, it's got to be two steps forward, one step back.
I don't know. I think on screen, it's completely and 100% inappropriate to have someone portray an ethnicity.
Yeah. Like no blackface, thank you.
Using makeup.
Right.
West Side Story is an example of that. Making all the actors tan to be Puerto Rican and...
Mm-hmm.
Voiceover, not great, but the show still had that as its premise. And I think that's a positive thing
to
talk about. Yeah. And there's a lot of other examples, so many. And I'm so glad we actually went through this exercise of looking up these shows, because it just all of a sudden hit me that I wasn't seeing any diversity. And then when I did, it was very okay, check the box.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've got the one black character. We've got the one East
Indian
character.
And that's what the pitch was hung on, too. That's right.
Asian gal.
And they were all named Token.
Well, on South Park they were. But then the other thing that really bothered me when I was looking into this is how stereotypical the characters were. So I'll give you one example. On Phineas and Ferb, which ran 2007 to 2015, which was a favorite of Shy Guys, there is one character who is obviously ethnic. His name is Baljeet. He is described as Phineas and Ferb's Indian friend who helps the boys with many of their plans, enjoys math, and is obsessed with good grades. There's no other academic criteria attached to any of the other characters.
Yeah, just the Asian kid.
No, he's Indian.
I mean, just the Indian kid.
Yeah, but the same thing I found in some other shows where it was like, you know, the nerdy kid. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell? But on the other hand, can I just say one more thing?
What?
In Peanuts, the comic strip, which turned into a cartoon, which is on the list because it's one that I don't know if Shy Guy would have survived his childhood without.
God, he loved that.
The Peanuts cartoons. Mm. The character Franklin, who's an African-American boy, was introduced into the show, you know, midway through on... he was introduced in order to fulfill an African-American representation. It was a suggestion by a fan.
Oh, interesting.
Uh-huh. And here's a quote from Wikipedia. Since it was Schultz's intention to achieve including this character without being patronizing, Franklin is a relatively normal character who mainly reacts to the oddness of other characters.
Oh, that's so funny because when I think about Franklin, I'm always like, oh, what a snooze. He was so boring.
Franklin always
others.
Points out what the hell is wrong with everybody else around
right.
him. So he's a pretty cool dude.
You know what I did read about Caillou was that somebody said, I know they were trying to go for a modern day version of Charlie Brown. I'm like, oh, no fucking way. That is no modern day version of Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown was not that irritating, although he was a little bit of a whiner, wasn't he?
He was just so self-effacing. He had just
no self-confidence.
None whatsoever.
No. Oh, my God.
But, you know, if you want to talk about racial stereotypes, Looney Tunes really takes the cake. In fact, there
no
are,
kidding.
Yeah, Looney Tunes and the Merry Melodies, it's basically a variety show with several characters and short acts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a lot of them had to get pulled. So probably the most famous is Speedy Gonzalez. Who's the little Mexican mouse.
Yeah, yeah. Andale, andale, arriba, arriba. I remember him.
However, many Hispanics protested they were not offended and finally remembered Speedy Gonzalez cartoons as a representation of their youth. Which,
interesting.
You know, that's awesome. But they reintroduced or they rebooted like a box set of DVDs.
Uh-huh.
And they actually had Whoopi Goldberg record an intro that starts at the beginning of each DVD. And she says, the cartoons you are about to see are products of their time.
Yeah.
They may depict some of the ethnic and racial prejudices that were commonplace in the U.S. society. These depictions were wrong then, and they are wrong today. While the following does not represent the Warner Brothers' view of today's society, these cartoons are being presented as they were originally created because to do otherwise would be the same as claiming that these prejudices
never existed. Damn, Daniel. They paid a lot of money for her to do that. Yeah. That is crazy. And she's the perfect voice for that.
Sure. Whoopi Goldberg, she can do anything.
Wow.
She's awesome.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So
I love that.
It's all over the board.
Yeah, you had a particular focus,
well,
didn't you?
It just
you?
Really hit me. Yeah, and it's, yeah. It's show after show after show. Like, Scooby-Doo is another one. The only African-American or Black representation of the show in its original form, so, like, think 1969 mm-hmm. through, like, the 80s, mm-hmm. the originals, mm-hmm. was the Harlem Globetrotter characters. There was a basketball team
oh,
on the
yeah,
show. They
I
had
remember them.
A recurring... They were a recurring group that was the only Black characters on the show, and they were basketball players.
You know,
like, oh my God.
I don't think we can look backwards and make any judgments on ourselves. What's done is done. If you're a parent, you know that. Just let it go. If you put your kid in front of the television to watch anything other than what, I don't know, the Discovery Channel.
Well, what you can do is be more mindful of what you're putting them in front of. And if you
yes.
can't find any programming that is diverse, call those studios.
Well, yeah,
reach
that's
out.
True. I will say that I did have a filter. Like, they could watch PBS, they could watch Sesame Street, but Tigger and Lola were not allowed to watch Cartoon Network until they wore me down to the point of, like, I gave up.
For so, sure. Cartoon Network.
It blew.
You have to filter that stuff.
It's such crap.
It's really not for little kids.
No.
I don't think.
No.
I don't think. Even Nickelodeon back in the day was touchy. Remember Rugrats?
Oh, yeah.
They were so nasty to each other.
They were nasty to each other, and they were controversial, and they were just, they modeled bad behavior.
They modeled bad behavior.
And that's what I hated about Caillou. So it doesn't matter if you're talking about a 4-year-old or a 7-year-old, right? They're modeling bad behavior. And I swear to God that when the kids got done watching either Caillou or when they were older Rugrats, they behaved badly.
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me that doesn't have an effect, which is why I really loved Zaboomafoo, because it was just a happy, happy, happy show.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned something really interesting. For those of you who've never seen Zaboomafoo or didn't have your kids sit in front of them or didn't sit in front of Zaboomafoo, whoa. Wine's getting to me.
Oh. Well, Zaboomafoo?
I know, it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, it's not
Zaboo. They called him Zaboo. Zaboo. I think they called him Zaboo.
How long has it been, sweetie?
A long time. But here's the deal about Zaboomafoo. Like, it was good for the boys,
yeah.
And it was good for the mom.
Why was it good for the mom?
Those crap brothers had great legs.
Crap?
Crat. What is wrong with you? Let's watch the Krat Brothers, boys.
Okay. I don't even know where to begin. They were probably wearing pleated khaki shorts and white shoes.
No, they had hiker boots on.
Even worse.
Shut up.
Hot, like some high techs.
It was 90s. What do you expect them to wear?
Oh, my God. And you were into their legs.
They were. I wasn't looking at the shoes, babe. I was looking at the legs.
That's what I just said. I'm kind of throwing up a little bit. In my mouth.
All right. Here's
thinking about you lusting after the Krat brothers.
It's Krat. Chris and, I had in my notes.
Krat?
No, I had the other name. But anyway, one of them went to Duke University. And as a student there, you know where he volunteered or where he worked? In the lemur compound.
Oh, I didn't know there was a lemur compound
right?
in Chapel Hill.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
And so when he graduated, he decided to start the show with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's like, hey, I got a crappy idea.
He wanted, it's a cratty idea. He wanted to have a wildlife show for kids. And so he went back to the lemur enclave and took his brother back there. They looked at the lemurs. The actual Zaboomafoo lemur has a different name, of course. And he just died in like 2014. He was like 20 years old, which
oh,
is
wow.
about 5 years older than what a lemur will actually normally live on average. So he goes back and they're like, sure, you can bring a crew in and capture some footage. So they actually built an entire like jungle enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought Zaboomafoo and his mom and his dad, that was his tribe at the time, brought them into this place. And for 2 weeks, they were there with their crew and they videotaped them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took those. So it was always kind of weird when you were watching the show because it would be this live action and they would be in this obvious.
Right. And then it would be the cartoon.
And then all of a sudden you would see like a lemur who looked nothing like the puppet Zaboomafoo. But the lemurs would be in video or
mm-hmm.
in film would be, you know, swinging from the trees and going from treetop to treetop. And then they'd be back to their little funky studio. Anyway, it was just a really good show. And the boys absolutely loved it. I thought that was really great. That was at the top of my list as well, along with Dragon Tales.
Oh, yeah. That was a sweet show.
It was a really sweet show. was, what, Emmy and her brother, and they found Dragonland by holding onto a scale and saying some magical words, and then it took them back. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the co-joined dragons? Like, oh, what were their names? It was a brother and sister, and they were always into mischief, and there was a Quetzal.
Was this a show or like a movie on VHS?
No, it was a show.
Did they do a Dragon Tales movie? Or maybe it was just, maybe you had recorded it. I feel like I walked in constantly and it would be on.
Yeah. That would make, well, you're thinking about Land of the Dragons.
Oh, I'm thinking of.
What's it called?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I am.
You're right.
I keep wanting to say Land's End, but that's close.
But okay, really the big one, granddaddy of them all.
Tell me.
What do you think is the second longest running cartoon franchise in the world?
Second longest running cartoon, The Simpsons.
No.
Okay. I don't know.
Pokemon.
Oh, that's on my list.
Which is short for Pocket Monsters.
What?
No kidding. No kidding.
Oh, I don't have that in my notes.
How about that?
No way.
Pocket Monsters. That's right. And it's still running today. It started in like 1997, year before before Tigger was born. And boy.
Man, talk about this is
timing.
Any addictive behavior that Lola or Tigger have,
it's this.
Came from Pokemon.
Thanks a lot, Pokemon.
They had cards, lovies, figurines, Pokeballs, toothbrushes, flashlights, clothes, backpacks, hats, sheets.
You name it. They did. They had it all.
They got to catch them all.
Oh, guess what the primary character's name was?
Ash.
Ash what?
Catch 'em.
All. Seriously.
Ash Ketchum.
Ash Ketchum, that's right.
Young Ash Ketchum is just beginning his Pokemon training as he reaches his 10th birthday. Things don't go as expected for the youngster, who gets a Pikachu instead of a standard first Pokemon.
Pika Pika.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Pikachu. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Anime.
Yeah. Out of which country?
Japan.
That's right.
Yeah, I looked into a little bit of the ethnicity on that and did not go there because it's a genre that I don't understand. And there is sort of a whitewashing, if you will.
What do you mean?
Of Japanese characters having Caucasian features.
Oh.
A whitewashing?
Yeah.
Right? And I didn't feel comfortable speaking to it because I don't fully understand any of that backstory or history on it. But I do know that, you know, in anime there are definitely some... They take some liberties with how the... I don't know if taking liberties is the right word, but they definitely... I'm just going to keep it at that and correct myself later. They whitewash the characters. They make them look white with certain features.
Yeah, that's not uncommon, actually.
No, it's not whatsoever. But, you know, I was way into my ethnicity bent on here, and I'm like, okay, Pokemon, let me see what you got. And I was like, whoa, out of my league.
Well, anime is...
Can't handle it.
It's really funny. I didn't realize that it literally was born about the same time as Tigger, and it grew up with Tigger. And, you know, it was definitely the creators of Pokemon reached out to and successfully reached out to Nintendo. And Nintendo saw something they liked there, and that was a match made in heaven right there, because Pokemon made Nintendo and Nintendo made Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still happening today.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, I ran into Snorlax. Do you remember Snorlax? I ran into
like
list.
Like the character or the camp counselor? Because the camp counselors all have like...
No, I mean the character. So I ran into a list in which 52,000 people on Reddit voted for their favorite Pokemon characters.
Yeah.
Because, of course, there were 52,000 people who raised their hand to do that, but they won't
Reddit
take...
Reddit is...
Amazing.
The rabbit hole from hell.
I love it with all my heart. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I'm not going to read you the top 25.
Thank God.
Hey, come on now.
Top five. Just tell me the top five.
That's exactly what I thought,
too. That's all I can handle.
Top five are starting with...
Pikachu.
No, Pikachu doesn't even count, is not even on this list because Pikachu is everybody's favorite.
Okay, so that's good. Just eliminate the high grade. It's a bell curve.
Okay, Blaziken is number five.
It's excuse me.
You would recognize this, the look of him. You would not recognize the name of him. Bulbasaur, of course, is everybody's favorite.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah, he is.
We
pretty
had a
cool
bathtub toy of him.
Did we not have, Tigger, no, yeah, no. Who did Lola dress up as?
I don't know.
For Halloween.
He was a Pokemon.
He was a Pokemon.
Not Pikachu, because that was Tigger.
Actually, I posted the photo of Tigger and Lola dressed up in their Pokemon outfits this week. So if you want to see what they look like when their dad, who is now passed, when he made their, he was great at making Halloween mm-hmm. costumes, and he made their Pokemon costumes, and it's a hilarious picture. Okay, number three, Arcanine.
Never heard of it.
Number two, Gengar. You would recognize these photos.
I know.
And number one, Charizard.
Charizard.
Yeah.
The one that's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. His tail is on fire.
Yeah. Love
My
that guy.
My tail is on. Wasn't there a Pokemon who got, wasn't there a Charizard that got lost and then there was a big fit and.
We've had lots of figurines that have gone missing and we've had to call the police to put out an APB.
For the.
To look for
the
said
Pokemon.
Missing Pokemon because sleep would not be had for anyone in the house until the Pokemon was found.
And
at
how
home.
About the year that I ordered, I don't remember what character it was, but from China for Christmas for one of the boys, for Lola.
And it came in June.
Something like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Surprise!
Well, in honor of Pride Month... I'm going to just switch gears here real quick.
Oh, wow.
I want to call out two shows that do a really good job with representation in terms of the LGBT community.
She-Ra.
So She-Ra and Steven Universe.
Yes.
So Steven Universe not only employs a diverse cast of voiceover actors, which is fabulous, but the character, many of the characters are non-binary. So it's just very much inclusive. There's bisexual characters. I think there's gay characters, but I can't remember. I've seen a handful of them. The creator of Steven Universe is a person named Rebecca Sugar, and she said at the San Diego Comic-Con panel that the LGBT themes in Steven Universe are in large part based on her own experience as a bisexual woman. In a July 18 interview on NPR, Sugar said that she created the series Gems, and that's a person in the show, as a non-binary woman in order to express herself as a non-binary woman through that character. Sugar goes by both she, her, and they, them pronouns. So what's beautiful about that is that you could have a kid who is really not feeling one way or the other, is not aligning with the vibe of blue and pink, and sees this show and there
says,
is something
I'm normal.
That, yes, that you can relate to.
Yeah.
And that is so critical.
It's so
because
important.
Because the younger that those seeds of doubt are planted, the deeper those roots will grow.
Yeah.
And that is someone who's going to grow up not feeling good about themselves. They will not make great choices. They will not take care of themselves. And I cannot abide any of that bullshit.
It was interesting because we went down to visit Tigger a couple of weeks ago and we were taking a walk with him. And he said we were talking about somebody who identifies as they, them. And he said, actually, I just use that now for everybody.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
I thought it was a great idea. And then if you're like, actually, I'm she, her, you know, no big deal. But they, them kind of covers everybody.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And you mentioned She-Ra.
Yeah. You know, I kind of brought the hammer down on She-Ra, but I got it confused with a different.
A different She-Ra?
No, a different cartoon, a different animated series. And I haven't seen She-Ra yet, and I'm really excited to. Is it She-Ra or She-Ra?
I think any way you want to say it.
I want to say it. She-Ra, Ra, Ra.
Do you remember He-Man? I think in the 80s.
Yes.
So He-Man.
Speed Racer. Oh, my God. Flashback. Sorry.
You're having a flashback to Speed Racer?
Yes. His mouth did not move.
So He-Man was a character... She-Ra was part of that series.
Oh.
He-Man, She-Ra. He-Man.
That's funny.
Talk about toxic masculinity.
Jesus Christ. No
anyway,
kidding.
She-Ra was a part of that. He-Man retires. The whole thing goes away. Then She-Ra was the princess like of the universe or princess of power. Now She-Ra, it's the prince.
I am the princess
the
of the
princesses
universe.
Of power.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. So the whole thing is LGBT. I don't think there are any straight characters in the entire.
No
yeah.
way.
The reboot started in 2018.
Huh.
The character has been completely dressed differently. So instead of a mini skirt and like a little
little top with a lot of cleavage.
Yeah. Now it's it's like short, it's like spandex shorts with a little skirt over it and flat, very practical boots to run in. No, I'm serious. They
That's
actually
awesome.
They call that out. The creators indicated prior to release that the series would provide LGBT representation. Tor.com commented that the series reads as utterly queer in about every aspect, with many characters coded as fluid in terms of gender sexuality and none as clearly heterosexual. The characters are, there's same-sex kissing on the show. I mean, it's really groundbreaking.
Wow.
Yeah. So again, you can be, and especially in this case, a little girl who is just like not feeling it, right?
Yeah,
and can
yeah.
see this show and go, oh, because I'll tell you, it would have been really great to understand all of those feelings so much sooner than when I figured them out.
Yeah.
Because then pop culture around me would have made sense.
Yeah.
Like things would have just made sense. It wouldn't have been so hard to try to figure it out and then fake it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Gosh.
It's exhausting. That was exhausting.
Yeah.
So
I bet it was.
I haven't seen this. Lola was really excited when it came out. And he was like, this show, like, you know, there's no, it's all representation. Like, he was just so excited.
I remember in the kitchen, he was having a cow.
Yeah. But I have not had time to sit down and do this. I'm looking forward to it. As you know, my focus right now is on Black Lives Matter. And so this is on the list of things to check out because I think that's just awesome. I'm so relieved to see this content available for youth right now. It's fantastic. So She-Ra, looking forward to it. I think it is for an older crowd though. So it's still a kid's show, if you will. It's not an adult show by any means, but you know, it's not Teletubbies. It's not preschooler.
I will say, and going back and as I was doing my research that I did not capture, but I will not mention again. As I was going through some of the old shows that the kids, you know, watched when they were just little and playing the theme songs and the introductions and watching the videos, I may or may not have shed a tear.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what got me the most when I was thinking about all these shows were the two that, for me personally, were the most influential shows. First of all, Sesame Street, which I think was born the same year I was, potentially. Mm. Nope, it's older than I am. 1969. but talk about a show being unfortunately ahead of its time. Right?
No kidding.
With just a rich
diversity.
And diverse
yeah.
and quality cast of characters and storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, come on, Bert and Ernie.
I love Bert and Ernie so hard.
Give me a break. Okay. Yeah.
And Count Dracula.
But even more so, I think for me, the gold standard of kids' shows is Mr. Rogers.
Oh. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
No, it really is.
Seriously.
And he was really remarkable. And
ahead of his time.
Ahead of his time, which, again, it's such a shit thing to say, right? Because why did that have to be ahead of the time? Anyway.
Yeah. The times were just a little slow.
The times were a little slow. But that is so obvious in the episode where he invited the police officer to put his feet in his kiddie pool with him.
The black police officer.
Yes. Officer Clemens was African American, and he did this in 1969. I don't even know if it had been a full year after, almost a year after Martin Luther King was shot. And he sent a deliberate message on the show by inviting a black police officer, played by a gentleman named Francois Clemens. He invited him to cool his feet with him in his wading pool.
Because it was a hot day.
And Officer Clemens said, no, I don't have a towel. And Mr. Rogers said, you can use mine. And the symbolism there was huge because although pools were in theory segregated, society at large was not allowing black people in to the point of scaring them off.
Yeah.
In fact, one pool owner, when a whole bunch of black kids jumped in the pool to play, poured acid in the pool.
What?
Yeah. For reals.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so sad.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, so, you know, the other thing that he did,
Mr. Rogers,
he had when he was given an award. I don't know if you've ever seen this video before, but it's really beautiful if you have a chance to see it on his show. Oh, I don't know what year it was. I can't remember. But anyway, he had a young boy in a wheelchair on his show. And he treated this boy just as he would treat
anyone else.
Yeah. Yep. And he was really, he kind of bent down and he was talking to him in the wheelchair and they just had this nice conversation. That boy then went on to become a young adult, of course, and to live his life. Well, at some point, many years later, they were awarding Mr. Rogers a commemorative sort of award for all of the good work that he had done. And to give him his award, they brought out this man who had been the young boy mm-hmm. in the wheelchair to give Mr. Rogers this award.
Aww.
And it's so beautiful. Please go out and watch it, because if we could use anything right now, it's probably a little bit of salve for the heart in this hard time of ours. And that is just one piece that will make you feel like $1 million.
Yeah. What would Mr. Rogers do is really the question you should ask yourself.
That's right. You were looking at me so intently. I was what's going to come out of her mouth?
I was just thinking about what a simple act it was, an easy thing to pull off on the show for him to say, dip your feet in this pool and use my towel.
Yeah.
You know, this is just.
He was constantly and kindly challenging the status quo, and that's okay.
Yeah, totally.
However we challenge the status quo right now, you might be like me and a little bit belligerent, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You might be really kind, like Mr. Rogers, and that's okay. And you might just be kind of savvy I don't know, what is your technique?
Me?
Yeah.
You said savvy.
Yeah, you are. You're very savvy, but you're very pointed in the way that you make a difference. And that's okay, too. No matter how we do it, we just have to get out there and, in the words of Nike, just fucking do it. Oh, yeah. They don't say fucking, do they?
I think they should drop the just.
You hate that word.
Yeah, do it.
Just do
don't
it.
Just do it. Just.
Oh, see, you can't
do
not
it.
Say just. You can't
do
not
it.
Not say, I don't even know what I'm saying now.
Do it. Well, I know. I hate conflict and I'm still probably not going to go seek it out. But the poignancy is coming from what is there to lose at this point?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not willing to sacrifice the momentum and the tipping point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because I'm a good person and I should do this because humankind. No, I fucking have skin in the game. I have a biracial son. I will never give up.
No. And you shouldn't. And neither should anybody else.
No, they shouldn't. But it's personal and you're going to hear from me.
But here's the deal. Whether you have a biracial son or not, you've got probably kids in your life who are watching you.
Oh, yeah.
And they are paying attention to what you do right now.
And kids are really where you can start. What can I do?
Yeah, you can
great
start
question.
With your, start with your kids.
Go young. Go out immediately and buy your toddler a black Cabbage Patch doll.
That's right.
Immediately.
Or a diverse book.
You pause at all there, dig into that and ask yourself why.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
You know, we posted a picture this week of Tigger sitting on Black Santa's lap because we were talking about this last week, and we'll say it again this week. You know what? If there are a bunch of black kids who have been raised holding white baby dolls and reading books with all white characters and, you know, being surrounded by white role models in terms of success and the norm, then why not just flip those tables? Why not start to make a sea change? Go ahead and buy a Black Cabbage Patch doll.
Yeah.
Go ahead and buy books that have all black characters.
Sure.
Why not?
Why not?
And when they ask, what a great opportunity. Mommy, all of these people in this book are black. Why? And that is your open door.
Yep.
You go ahead and walk right through it. We encourage you. And that's why we're here every single Tuesday.
Yeah, to encourage you.
To make you fucking laugh.
Oh, my God.
I hope we did a little bit of both. There's so much more. We didn't get to SpongeBob SquarePants.
We didn't get to SpongeBob.
We didn't get to so many.
Scooby-Doo, really.
Oh, my God, Scooby-Doo.
You know, I bet that you didn't know that Shaggy's first name is really Norval.
What?
And that they all have last names.
What?
Fred Jones, Daphne Blake, Velma Dinkley, and Norville Shaggy Rogers.
Okay, but here's my real question for you.
Oh, no. What?
When they answer the phone at the Krusty Krab.
Yeah?
What do they say?
Oh, my God, I know this one. I know this one.
Is this SpongeBob?
No, this is Patrick.
And on that note, goodbye.
See you next week.